opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
But after hearing the gunshots, many people yelled, get down, which caused Nicki Minaj to start twerking. You believe? Get down. She's the only one that really understood what that meant.
So I wouldn't describe it as a masterpiece of comedy. I don't even know. I listened to the whole thing. I'm a listener. I'm not really a watcher when it comes to these speeches. So I think of them in radio terms because I'm going to be talking about them on the radio and I can't really show you stuff. So I listened to it while I was doing other show prep and among things. And I don't really know what to say about this speech. I have a lot of thoughts. I mean, a lot of clips. Okay. There's a lot worth covering. But for almost 70 minutes, the president spoke to the White House Correspondents Association dinner on Friday. This is the rescheduled one, in case you didn't catch it from the context of what he said that, you know, was previously interrupted by somebody who tried to storm in with a gun. And now, you know, Trump, he was at that one. He's at this one. And at the end, Weijia Jiang, who is the host, and she is the president of the WHCA, she said,
"Thank you, President Trump. People asked me for several months, how long is he going to speak? And I said, you're White House correspondents. So you should know. And thank you, President Trump."
Because normally the president's portion when he's involved, which, of course, for several years, he has not been involved. And he's, you know, never spoken as president until now. You know, he's been in attendance many times, but he's never spoken as president. You know, how long is he supposed to go? Well, typically a president goes like 20 minutes, you know, 15 to 25, somewhere in that vicinity. So 66 is a lot. Then again, for Trump, is that a lot? It's normal. You know, he rambles, he weaves, he improvises, he reads a couple of jokes, and then he goes back off script for a while. So it's a weird speech. It came in a lot of parts. There was the part in the beginning that was kind of winsome and charming.
Wow, that was very beautiful, but this has not been an easy evening, all these awards. Do I have a say? Those awards, all those awards.
For people he doesn't like particularly.
But it's great to be back at a place that I know very well because I built it.
Remember?
And I'm very proud of it because I built it for $2.9 billion less than the Federal Reserve building, which is a lot smaller, by the way. Figure that one out.
Yeah, so, you know, in the beginning, very charming.
But I am delighted to be here at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Amazing people. A lot of people that I like. Some I don't like at all. But I respect most of them. I must say that you do a great job, amazing job, and it's an honor. As I said 3 months ago, the show must go on. We were backstage, and we both wanted to just have it go on, whether it was 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, it didn't matter. But in the end, it made more sense to do it the way we're doing it.
Yeah, and then, you know, some funny stuff in the beginning.
Everyone's looking really good tonight, and I know it was not easy finding shoes to go along with your bulletproof vest, which many people didn't want to wear because they'd rather die than look 20 pounds heavier. You know that, right? We have that a lot. They put one on me. I said, are you sure I'm not wearing this? No, you look exactly 20. They say, sir, it's about 21 pounds. They said, not good.
And then there was the weird middle.
But I can exclusively reveal to you this evening that for the heaviest of the heavyweights, we will have...
This is after talking about the UFC fight.
Sloppy Chris Christie, one of the sloppiest human beings you'll ever meet. Fighting, I would say, I could mention the governor of Chicago, but I'm going to mention instead Jerry Nadler. And they're fighting for a big piece of cheesecake. Big, fat piece of cheesecake. Who the hell wrote that line? But it is true.
I don't know if you wrote it and it didn't land. I don't know if somebody else wrote it and you approved it. I mean, nobody knows, but that was by no means the only personal attack of weirdness.
Then Anderson Cooper is going to fight Lawrence O'Donnell. I'm not a fan of Lawrence O'Donnell. I like Anderson, actually, because he's covered me well for many years. Then he went bad as soon as I went for politics. But for years, he loved interviews. I did so many interviews with him, and he was great. But, you know, he's got a little different persuasion than me in many ways, actually. And Lawrence...
Okay, so, I mean, Anderson Cooper's gay. I don't, you know, I mean, I assume everybody knows that, but in case you don't.
And Lawrence O'Donnell never liked him, never thought he had any talent, but he's still making a living, so I can't knock it. But we had a contest for who had the lowest ratings and the lowest IQ on television, and that was actually Don Lemon, I think. You know, when I said that, he's the dumbest man on television. I said, you know, when you say some things, you never make a comeback. It's not like, oh, gee, hey, Don, let's have dinner some night. But I know what I'm saying.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was like I said, the middle was just this stream of consciousness series of unfunny, just personal attacks against people that he doesn't like.
And what about Bruce Springsteen? What the hell happened to that guy? He looks like hell. I don't care what anyone says. I'm not supposed to say. I'm sure he doesn't like the way I look, but I don't look so bad. But in a recent concert, Bruce, all he did was talk politics. He ought to run for office. That'd be interesting. But all he talked about, he made four political speeches in his three-hour show. The tour has been renamed Bored in the USA.
Okay. And he attacked Elizabeth Warren, whom he called Pocahontas repeatedly. He talked about Governor Pritzker. He was bragging about how he invented the term Democrats and nobody gives him credit for it. Oh, no, I'm not. I mean, here. It's just, you know, you think I'm... Okay, PJ, you've worked with me enough times. Do I make stuff up?
Nope.
You know, you can disagree with me about my interpretation of things, but I think that one of the core responsibilities of doing this job is I have to at least tell you the truth. And so you have the facts. Your take on the facts and my take on the facts may be different, but you will always get the facts, right? So, literally, he seemed irritated that he wasn't getting enough credit for that super clever wordplay, Democrats.
Ilhan Omar is reportedly being investigated for fraud. She revised her net worth. I was shocked to see that she was worth much more than $30 million. And then when the press got on her, she revised it slightly downward to less than 18,000. So she went from much more than 30 million to 18,000. And I know Democrats, and the word Democrat is something that's come into fashion. I changed the E with a U, and most people don't know that dumb has a B, so we don't have to worry about that. It's very quiet. I thought it was quite good, but I haven't gotten much credit for that. Fake news, good. Pocahontas, good. I won't say Lion Ted because he's on my side. I don't talk about past conquests, but we have a lot of them. I won't talk about them. They got a whole table full of Republicans there. They're saying, no, don't mention my frickin' name, will you please? But we've had a lot of good names. But the Democrats are there to destroy wealth, and honestly, they've gone absolutely crazy.
So good stuff. Yeah. Strong. I mean, I know PJ. I had the same reaction. I'm like, Ted Cruz, former conquest. I mean, there's funny elements of it, but as a comedic experience, not the strongest. So, and then in the end, and, you know, we go through all of that. I mean, he attacked Barry Weiss, the head of CBS News, for being a gay dictator. like, you think I'm not again, trust me, if I'm telling you it happened.
I have all of the press here in one place. I have to say that we're having an amazing load of accomplishments that the media never talks about. For example, under my administration, a once feared and powerful regime that relentlessly attacked America has finally been toppled. Their former leaders have been removed, and they're now being run by a gay dictator facing internal divisions. But I, for one, wish Barry Weiss all the best at CBS News. She's a wonderful woman.
Just, this is the president. So anyway, it gets to the end, and, you know, the end was fine. You know, the beginning was fine. The middle was weird as hell. And then the end was, you know, fine.
For all of the trouble that you give me a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache.
Talking to the press.
I hope all of you know that I believe in the free press more than anyone in this room does.
What?
Maybe not quite. But that's why I'm proud to be the most open and transparent president in history. They called me that. You know who calls me that? Caroline. That's about it so far. Would anybody else call me that? I think Peter would call me that. Am I the most transparent? Biden never used to answer your questions. He'd ask Biden 20 questions. He'd never get an answer.
See, no, that's just true. The Biden administration was not forthcoming in a way that the Trump administration is. Now, of course, part of the problem with the Trump administration is that you never know what parts of what he's saying or anybody else is saying are true or not. But he will answer. He will sit there and do the press conference for 70 minutes. There's no hiding. And one of the things you absolutely have to credit the Trump administration for is telling you what they're doing. They put out the executive order. They put out the brief, the explainer. There's no hiding the actions. That's true. In a way that I'd never seen this. But in fact, one of the things going back to the first administration that I always thought was kind of amazing is here's the first politician, first president I can name in my lifetime anyway who I'm going to do this, and then he does this, and I'm going to do this, and then he does this, you know, again and again and again. Whether you agree with him or disagree with him, there's no mystery about the objectives. And then he does what he said he's going to do, whether you think it's great or not, but he does what he said, and then he doesn't hide it. He puts it out there and explains it all. I mean, you know, so again, I think that a lot of the facts are exaggerated and the things that are said are false a lot, especially from the president. You know, he's not a good source of reliable information. But as far as transparency goes, you have to give him credit for that, for sure. And he even, I actually thought this was accurate, I mean, that all of these people are, you know, they love hating him, but they make their living because he's doing what he's doing. And he's captured American politics and political fascination like no other president has ever done. And that means that clicks and revenue and ads and income flows their way. And what will they do when he's gone?
But you people have no idea how lucky you are. When I'm gone, you're all going to be broke. Your business model is going to be finished. No, it's true. When I'm not around, you're going to be broke. There's not going to be anybody to report on. Nobody gives a damn about anybody else. The New York Times the other day had 5 stories about me. You know, before I got into politics, in my whole life, I had 7 front page stories. This is years of success. I think 6 were good, 1 was bad. I had 5 stories, 7, 5 good. Yeah, I had a total of 7 stories on the front page of the New York Times. That's not bad. Now I average about 3 or 4 a day. All different topics, all bad, everything bad.
And then even a praise note at the end.
And we do. We have the hottest country anywhere in the world, and we're going to keep it going. And I just want to say, it is the room. I have tremendous respect for the people in this room. Sometimes I don't feel you treat me fair. Maybe you do. I don't know. I don't feel that. But sometimes you treat me very fairly. And I have a lot of respect for your profession. Your profession's amazing. And I just want to thank you for having me. And it's been fun. And I've met a lot of great people. And, you know, I used an expression. And I've used it right from the beginning. I did this for one reason, to make America great again. And that's what's happening right before your very eyes. We have made America great again. It's going to get a lot greater. So thank you all very much. It's an honor to be with you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So it was weird. This is my favorite event of the year. I love the White House Correspondents Association dinner. It's like Nerd Prom is what they call it because it's all the nerds in one room making jokes and having fun. And there's something about it historically which is beautiful, that the press who criticizes the leadership and the leadership which often criticizes the press or in past times has just put up with the press. They make jokes about each other, and it's fun. This wasn't fun. It was just weird and mean and off note. And then it was over and it was long. But it is what the president did. So here I am telling you about it. Judge it for yourself. 437-1620, 437-1620. Actually, I think Weijia Jiang, who I had a chance to meet her when she was the MC for the event that I won that in D.C. several years ago for the COVID reporting, the Service to America Award. And I actually thought she was exactly right in this comment.
This night is all about the First Amendment. Tonight was on full display. And
yeah, like you saw the First Amendment. You saw the president using the First Amendment in all the ways that it can be used. And that means that the First Amendment, beautiful, ugly, truthful, lying, edifying, mean, was all on display. So in that sense, she's right. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And if you have a company, you have to have benefits for your employees. You want to make sure that you're doing right by them and giving them the best ones possible. That's everything from health insurance, dental, vision, disability, all of the stuff that you have to keep employees, to attract new employees, and, of course, HR and payroll, all that kind of stuff. Torgerson Consulting, they're really, really good at this. We've been using them here at News Radio in Cat Country for 5 years, and I, you know, Reed is great. Was he and his dad for a while, and now Reed has taken over. And you know, I listened to Reed give a presentation to Milton City Council about benefits that I thought was boring, but smart. You know, I mean, benefits are boring, but they matter, and you know, it can make the difference between your company doing well and not doing well when it comes to managing your employees. And it was a great presentation and made some savvy advice. Basically, it was up to them to decide what to do, but he gave them really good advice. And the point is, for 25 years, they've been helping local companies take care of all of this stuff. So have them come in, take a look at what you're doing, seeing if it's the best that you can do by your employees. Just give them a call, 433-9996, or check out Torgerson Consulting online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose. And millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You ever wish someone would just ask the follow-up question?
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Give in to your anger.
If I had my time again, I would do it all the same. And I'll change the
scene. Good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Spent a couple hours yesterday on Blackwater River with Cat Country 98.7 doing the Cat Pack float, and Brent Lane and Shane Prophet, who was the artist who opened for Eric Church on Saturday at the Wharf. Got a chance to hear him play a little impromptu beach concert. It's kind of fun. That was the way that all ended. That
Very
was good.
Cool.
I know. Have you ever done the float?
Not yet.
Oh. How long you been here?
I always seem to be working at Cat Country the day it happens.
Okay. All right. No, it's a good time. It's a really wonderful event every year. You take your life a little bit in your hands when you get, I mean, the operators, the Blackwater Canoe Rentals are fantastic, but they take, you know, a road that was built for like one dirt bike is where they drive the bus down. You know, it's how you always feel, and you're like, ah, this is going to be great. But there, I mean, the workers are fantastic, and the event itself, and of course, the Blackwater River is wonderful. You know, fairly fast moving for, you know, slow river standards. As Brent likes to say, it's as fast as the Colorado River. I'm like, well, in parts. You know, there are parts of the Colorado River that are faster. There's no rapids, you know, but there are occasional trees. Anyways, great event. And I managed to not get burned. I think this is the first time I've done an outdoor event recently where I don't get burned at all, which is kind of unusual.
Wear your sunscreen.
I did, and a hat, and, you know, I'm really a big fan of the swim shirts, you know, long sleeve, you know, also because of the age of 55. I don't need to take my top off much, like ever. Oh, it's funny. We were out playing pickleball the other day, and it was Saturday evening, and with some church folks and friends, and the sun was really bright for whatever reason, and I was so hot. I mean, pickleball is exhausting when, I don't know, either I'm old or I'm playing it wrong. I don't know. And I had taken my shirt off because I was so hot, and I told him, like, I know it's like avert your eyes, but you don't know which one to avoid more. The sun or me? I understand. Well, that was a good news segment. Hey, happy Monday. I'll just say it that way. We got more coming up in just a second. We'll have a good time, obviously. It's Monday. Bands on the Beach tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. It's going to be a good time. It's always a good... Speaking of Cat Country events, stop by the Cat Country tent. It's 7 o'clock at the Gulfside Pavilion over on Pensacola Beach. And David Wayne will have local news coming up next, right after Fox. I'm Andrew McKay. Stick around.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Cops in Seattle believe two people opened fire at each other, killing three people, wounding several others, including a two-year-old child. Seattle Assistant Chief of Special Operations Tyrone Davis.
One of the shooters, that person gave up and was taken into custody.
Davis says they're actively searching for the other alleged gunman, Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson.
Our focus right now is on supporting the victims.
It's happening during a food festival. A pause in U.S. strikes inside Iran.
The White House is making clear that the military option remains on the table, but officials are giving diplomacy and intense economic pressure time to work. The U.S. naval blockade remains in effect, costing the regime hundreds of millions of dollars per day.
That's Fox's Trey Yanks in Tel Aviv. But the Jordanian army says it downed two drones, no casualties or material damage reported. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. And right now we've got 81 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a check on our forecast from Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson. That's up here in just a few minutes. Well, a narcotics investigation led deputies to a home on Doris Avenue where they seized more than a kilogram of methamphetamine along with cocaine, fentanyl, and several other drugs. That happened on Friday. The Sheriff's Office Narcotics Unit and SWAT team served the search warrant, recovering more than $5,000 in cash. 35-year-old Kelvin Crenshaw of Pensacola now faces multiple trafficking and possession charges. A shrimp boat fire on Saturday sent diesel fuel leaking into Pensacola Bay. Pensacola fire crews responded to the scene where they battled that blaze, believed to have started in the engine room on the Captain Peter II, which was docked near Joe Paddy's. The Coast Guard's pollution response team spotted about 100 yards of fuel sheen the next day. Most of that had cleared by Sunday afternoon. A dive crew and an environmental team plan to assess the boat further to determine how much fuel is still on board. The cause of that fire is still under investigation. Well, police in Milton plan to step up traffic enforcement in August, targeting drivers that run red lights. Chief Jennifer Frank says it's the leading cause of crashes in the city, especially at intersections that used to have red light cameras before the council had those removed in 2021. Instead of bringing the cameras back, officers plan to monitor problem intersections themselves, including at Glover and US 90. Frank says the added enforcement will pull officers away from other duties, and the department does plan to reassess those plans after the enforcement operation in August. The state of Florida is scheduled to execute two inmates in one day this week. Former Lake County Police Officer James Duckett had his March execution date stayed due to an inconclusive DNA test. He's now scheduled to be put to death on Tuesday, the same day that inmate Dominic Anthony Occhione is set to die for the 1986 murder of his ex-girlfriend's parents. Well, Pritchard, Alabama Police Chief Walter Knight has resigned after his arrest in an ongoing corruption investigation. Mayor Carletta Davis requested Knight's resignation after a grand jury recommended abolishing and then rebuilding the entire department. Major Aaron Tucker, who was arrested alongside Knight, is now on administrative leave. A 33-year-old veteran captain will oversee daily operations as that city decides how to move forward. The investigation has already led now to charges against several other current and former officers. It is 5:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We are going to be seeing some sunshine today with a 20% chance of rain. Going to be seeing temperatures near 95 degrees, feeling more like the triple digits, very hot afternoon. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 79. For Tuesday, 20% chance of rain, otherwise mostly sunny skies, high near 96. Heat index values again in the triple digits. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 80 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 81 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies. Our next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime it happens. This is News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Shares of chipmaker Changshin Technology Group rose more than 500% this morning as the company debuted on Shanghai's tech-heavy Star Market, making CXMT the most valuable China-listed company. CXMT raised $8.6 billion during its debut. Shares of South Korean internet and cloud service giant Naver jumped more than 10% this morning after it said NVIDIA would acquire $1 billion of its new shares to finance a project to expand an AI data center. The move underscores a deepening partnership between the two companies, which in June announced plans to build global AI infrastructure in the Asia-Pacific region, Europe, and the Middle East. The Wall Street Journal reports that NVIDIA is in talks to provide roughly $250 billion in financing guarantees for OpenAI as part of a massive data center project. The backstop from NVIDIA would help the ChatGPT maker lease a 10-gigawatt project that SoftBank's energy subsidiary is developing in southern Ohio. Futures are sharply higher. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
What's fun and happening in Pensacola? You'll find out as the City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation Department talks about it here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Join us tomorrow at 10 a.m. to find out what's going on in your resource centers, parks, recreation programs, and at the Community Maritime Park. It's a great month to get out and play Pensacola. Tune in tomorrow at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't always have time to sit and listen.
That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:39 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Monday. The big news on Friday was that the Ethics Commission dismissed the complaint against Jonathan Owens, former candidate for District 1 commissioner. Yeah, and then former commissioner's aide or, chief of staff for Doug Underhill when he was commissioner for District 2. This is all going back to the flash drive, USB drive, whatever you want to call it, on which were all of the cell phone records for former Commissioner Jeff Burgosh. Including some wild stuff on that drive. Remember that he had come into possession of that wound up being, well, maybe not all that relevant in the whole dispute with the Ramey Edler, but in the, Jeff Burgosh did not like that stuff out. And so he went after, got the commission to go after the PNJ and Alex Arduini and Jonathan Owens for having these things, and Alex never even had them. That was weird. And the PNJ wanting to stop them from being published or punishing them for being punished or whatever, which is a First Amendment issue, prior restraint or punishment after. I mean, it was just all so weird, the abuse of lawfare. I mean, we talk about lawfare, which is the using of legal mechanisms to try to stifle dissent or to punish your opponents, and, this was a real local example of a government using the law to try to punish political opponents. And thank goodness the courts were all like, yeah, no. And then now the ethics complaint, which was just, another last flailing effort to do the same exact thing. And that was dismissed ultimately because there was, no case to be had, that there was no evidence that Jonathan Owens violated state information disclosure laws or that he used his position in order to acquire the information in the first place. And Dennis Green, who's, Jonathan's attorney, says, today's a good day for my client. Justice prevailed. He's glad we get this chapter of his life successfully closed out, and he looks forward to whatever the future may hold. Of course, it's all Diplo speak. There's nothing there. But the one thing left to be done is to pay Jonathan's legal fees, because he had to hire a lawyer to defend himself against this nonsense. And so the county, because the county has set the precedent of paying other people's legal fees, like Lumen May likes to say, we're O for the season. The county just keeps doing stupid things legally, whether it's at the behest of the former commissioner or as he was part of the vote on a lot of different things, or even sometime since. It's not been quite as bad in the last 2 years. They haven't had as many lawsuits, haven't lost quite as many. But, that's coming, you would expect. If somebody is guilty of a crime or guilty of an ethics violation, then they're not entitled to be covered. Although we've had that, too, or we've had things like it where they pay for people even though the people did the wrong thing, which is amazing. That former Commissioner Burgosh actually advocated for, which is crazy. But in any case, this is one where Jonathan didn't do anything wrong, didn't break any laws. So, yeah, the county can't just go out there and force people to engage in loss of money, loss of revenue, which is an adverse harm because of their allegations that turn out to be false. So, yeah, I don't like it as a taxpayer. Of course, I just would prefer to elect smarter people who don't make such dumb decisions, such petty decisions. But, here we are. In any case, he's been exonerated, and we'll see what happens now. 5:42 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, the big news, we had a couple of passings. Now, Pat McClellan was the founder of the Floribama and I think had passed away Wednesday, but the news didn't get really reported until late Thursday and early Friday. But obviously, talk about somebody who everybody, I never knew Pat. I don't want to pretend that I did. Obviously built an institution here locally that's, brought so much to this area, defining this area. And he passed away at the age of 77 on Wednesday, one of the original owners. And then also we had former city council member John Geralds passed away, who was on council for 12 years representing District 5 from 2000 to 2012. And then again, he was temporarily on from 2019 to 2020, and he was the deputy mayor. That's, I think, in the past when we had the not strong mayor form of city council, city government before the new charter was passed. So a couple of local passings that were of significance. And then this was kind of an, at least I thought that it was a really interesting story. And where did it go now? Because I had it right in front of me and I knew the one. Oh, yes. The Trump administration, speaking of before, talk about something they did that kind of went a little bit unnoticed, but I'm glad other people reported on it, was that they brought forward the idea of getting more people to develop nuclear power. And, you know, I know the Saudi Arabia deal has been a little bit in the news. That still has not been approved. And you heard top of the hour, you know, 5 o'clock news for Fox. They were talking about this, how the question of, you know, diplomatic normalization with Israel is one of the elements of that. Will they or won't they? Should we be sharing any kind of nuclear technology with the country that sent terrorists to attack us on 9/11? Not in an official capacity, but, you know, a lot of them were Saudis, right? So there's, we have a fraught relationship with Saudi Arabia. Lots of background and tension and contradiction and us not wanting to do too much to offend them, which is why a lot of the evidence related to the terrorist attack on NES Pensacola is being, and it continues to be suppressed. You know, does that make sense? Well, like I said, there's a lot to be talked about when you bring up Saudi Arabia. But, you know, I share the concerns of people who say, I don't know if we want them to have nuclear reactor technology. Is that great? But in good news for the Trump administration, the Trump administration had said that they wanted nuclear startups in America, that they wanted companies to develop new cutting-edge reactors that they could actually start up by July 4th. It said, we need to get at least three. And actually four, Antares Nuclear, Velar Atomics, Deployable Energy, and I think it's Aiello Atomics, all of which are names that I think sound made up in a comic book, but okay. I don't start the company. I don't get to make the names. That they all started up. That they all met or beat that target. And Antares Nuclear's Mark Zero reactor, which again sounds like, you know, if the enemies of Flash Gordon on Planet Mongo were coming at you with the Mark Zero reactor, you would know that was a good story for a serialized black and white TV show. In any case, they've started reactors. So we have a whole wave of innovation with small-scale nuclear, and I celebrate that. I think, you know, we've been using nuclear power on aircraft carriers and submarines for how long? Why is this an issue? It's highly safe. We know how to do it well. It's a great power source. And it doesn't, you know, pollute in the ways that basically all of your other power sources pollute. Use nuclear. It's extraordinarily safe, especially small scale. Like, we really know how to use this. You know, the idea has kind of come up in the past that maybe your power needs on a military basis, like NES Pensacola could run off of a small scale nuclear power plant, like the kind you'd have in a carrier. Yeah, do it. I mean, this is great. It's always amazing to me that the same people, typically, it may not be true in every case, the same people who complain about how dirty or how much it contributes to global climate change, the traditional sources of power are, and then you turn around and you're like, well, nuclear. And like, no, not nuclear. I'm like, why? it's an amazing source of power. It literally powers our universe, and, you know, you don't want to use it. Okay, I don't understand, but okay. So we built four new power plants, which is great. So I love the innovation. 437-1620, 437-1620. Interesting note out of Congress. We'll talk with Jimmy Petronis about this coming up in 2 hours. We have him on at 740. But Congress took a vote, and they did a thing that is extraordinarily common for Congress. I frankly think that it ought to be illegal or anti-procedure or whatever, where they put two bills together that don't really belong together. You know, kind of violating the single subject rule, which is not a rule at the federal level. And the one was voter ID, you know, the SAVE Act kind of provisions. And the other one had to do with prohibiting people who are in Congress from trading on stocks, which you would think that had long since been passed. Oh, no, man, they love to make their money on the stuff they know, right? So 198 House Democrats voted against the bill, including leadership. But 13 members voted with Republicans to pass the joint measure, 231 to 198. So they combined both of these. Both are very popular among the average voter. You know, having voter ID is extremely popular because most people are like, I have to give you an ID to get my Olive Garden bowl. You know, why wouldn't I have to give you an ID to vote, right? And on the other one, we don't want them trading on their knowledge. We don't want them trading stocks while they're in office. Why would that be hard to ban? Well, it has been. Why? Because there's a lot of money involved, right? So both are very, very popular. The problem is both are not necessarily popular together with all the same people. And when you put them together, what you wind up doing is if a Democrat votes against the combined measure, then Republicans can use that as a campaign strategy to say, he voted against stopping Congress from trading on insider knowledge. Well, what he really voted against was the voter ID stuff, which you could also campaign against him on. But the vote against the joint measure is not a vote against each individual part. It's against the combo that the things together are too obnoxious for your stomach. So that whole way of doing business is distasteful to me. And it looked as a Republican, okay, it looks like just, you know, petty partisan politics to me. And you know me, if I'm willing to say that, then that's probably what it is. 549 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's Vinyl Revival, a six-piece band covering those classic hits from the 70s through the 90s, from Pat Benatar, Blondie, The Cars, The Cure, to Journey, AC/DC, and the Doobie Brothers. You can come out and enjoy at Bands on the Beach. No pets and no glass.
As Florida parents, we have a choice about where our children receive their education. I'm a mom of four, and I've chosen Santa Rosa County Public Schools for my family. That's why I'm running for school board. I have a vested interest in making sure our children receive a quality education. I'll be your advocate in our community, promoting transparency, fiscal responsibility, and a brighter future for every student. I'm Jill Broxton-Teston. I'll be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxton-Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Join Chris Roney from Ace Unlocks Wednesday at 9:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Chris will be sharing his years of expertise in the field of locksmithing, talking about topics like security benefits of having your home or business locks inspected and resecured, smart locks, and even reprogramming your car's ECU computer for a lost key fob.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
On November's ballot, Escambia County voters will be asked whether to keep the 1 cent local option sales tax, LOST. It's been in place since 1992. It's not a new tax or a tax increase. It's a renewal of the penny on the dollar we've been paying for decades that funds law enforcement, fire and public safety facilities and equipment, roads, drainage, parks, and other infrastructure. To help you see what the penny does, Escambia County and Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger are inviting you to a free LOST community open house today at 5:30 at Ferry Pass Community Center. Talk directly with county staff, see the ambulances, fire trucks, and equipment LOST bought, and learn what's at stake if the tax ends in 2028. If voters say yes in November, LOST continues to fund critical local projects. If they say no, Escambia loses a major revenue source that helps reduce reliance on property taxes. Get informed at the LOST Open House today at 5:30 at Ferry Pass Community Center, 8800 North 9th Avenue. This message brought to you by this radio station.
You ever look at your bank account and think, okay, that could be better?
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Are you silver? Away!
I walk a lonely road, the only one that I have ever known.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, 5:53 on Monday morning. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Michael Texan says he thinks FPL will fight nuclear power since they'll lose money. I don't know whether they will or not. I would imagine they can find a way to make money at it. But we'll wait and see. There was supposed to be, if I were, oh man, I'm digging in my memory now. Wasn't there supposed to be possibly a nuclear power plant, like in the north end of Escambia County, is what I remember. That there was some, it was sort of in the maybe future development vicinity. Did not ever come to pass, of course. Somebody else says it should just be one thing voted on each bill to be voted on. I actually have a different. No, I totally agree. You shouldn't be combining issues on these bills. And in fact, I have a different view entirely of legislation. I think that at the federal level, it's not as relevant at the state level, but maybe it could be. But at the federal level, bills should be no more than 10 pages. That would be like a start. And 10 pages is still very, very long. I mean, the Constitution, now to call it 4 pages is, I mean, technically accurate, but very big pages, very small print. You know, you can get a lot done in 10 pages. Honestly, you could probably get a lot done in 4 pages. You could make the requirement be that a bill is 4 pages. And then, you know, because you don't need to have, I mean, imagine if the federal code was like, you know, a book that one person could lift. Wouldn't that be amazing? And I also think that legislation ought to come with a sunset term, probably 5 years or less. It ought to also come with objectives that can be measured and metrics so that you can score whether you're accomplishing along those things, so that in 5 years when the sunset comes up, you can look back and say, well, in year one, we did this, and two, and three, and four, and five. That way we know what the legislation was trying to accomplish. I know I'm naive thinking that this would ever happen, but, you know, if I were king, or if I were the prime minister, or if I were the president, you know, this is how I would structure it. I don't know that anybody's going to do it my way, but that's how I would do it anyway. That's what happens when you get a kid a philosophy and a poli sci degree. They come up with these weird ideas. It might work. 437-1620. What was the other thing? Oh, this, I don't want to take too strong of a position on this, because I don't have a strong position on this, but I will tell you what it looks like. Okay, you know, we are not really fighting against Iran right now. Like, there's kind of been this slow down, draw down, not do anything for a couple of days. We're in a, I don't know, you might call it a strategic pause. You know, they say we're waiting to see the effects of our prior behaviors and the blockade and, you know, bring pressure and see what might happen after the first round of attacks and then negotiations failed and then attacks. And then now we're kind of here we are. But in that whole process, the Pentagon, the Department of War, released a whole new list and categorization of casualties from the war and kind of put them into a couple of different categories. There have been 18 troops killed in the conflict so far, Operation Epic Fury, but they raised the total number of troops who have been injured or killed from about 420 to 624, so raised that number by 200. And part of the increase in the number of reported casualties, and again, if you're not familiar, casualties includes deaths and wounded, okay? Mostly wounded, of course, but still some casualties, let's not forget. Let's make sure we remember those we've lost entirely, of course. But they've separated it into Operation Epic Fury, which was the direct attacking against Iran, and then that's through July 7th, I think, is when they're saying for that. And then the other number is since July 7th, because the Pentagon, remember, claimed that Epic Fury was over, claimed that we were done when they entered into the negotiations with Iran, and now we've resumed, and now they don't have a name for it that they're called. They're just saying overseas operations. So they raised the number of casualties by about half, from 420 to 624, which was significant. And then they've separated them into two different categories, so that technically, if you're going to report on them, you know, you have to decide, well, do we report on them the way that the Pentagon wants them reported, which is separate things, sort of reinforcing the notion that we aren't in the same war anymore, which will possibly become relevant in the conversation about the War Powers Declaration and whether the president is outside or inside his, you know, boundaries defined by the Constitution, the 30 days to engage in war and get permission from Congress, 30 days after that to withdraw troops if withdrawing them much more rapidly would put them at a danger. So we're way outside the 60 days now, but of course the Trump administration says we're not, because we're not doing a war anymore. Or we're not doing the same war anymore, which is, you know, sounds like nonsense to me. But anyway, is it an effort to try to obscure the total and to make it seem like it's less because two separate numbers, you know, people don't do the math in their head? I don't know. I'm not taking a very strong, but I'm just telling you what happened so that you can decide whether you think this is an effort to bring better information to the American voter. 437-1620, 437-1620. Okay. Oh, King Andrew, you're now the king. Get these things done. I would if I could. As long as I got enough of Congress on my side, if I were the president or if I were the Speaker of the House, as long as I could get the Senate involved. You know, I mean, I believe in these processes. I believe that government should be slow and inefficient and frustrating and, you know, irritating, because that's how you avoid making big mistakes. I don't want government to be fast. I don't want a magic wand. I don't want, you know, I don't want to be king, and I don't want anybody else to be king. 437-1620. Somebody said they looked up the business about the nuclear plant and said, oh, this is from you, PJ. You just you texted in as you.
I'm just doing your research.
You should, okay. You should have just told me on the microphone that they acquired 4,000 acres near McDavid for a potential nuclear site, which was never built back in 08 to 2012. I'm like, oh, this is from PJ, the guy who's pushing the buttons over there. thank you, PJ, for looking that up. I thought I had remembered that, and it never did come to pass. All right, 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. If you missed the first pass at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, the 66-minute speech, oh, yeah, we'll come back to it. It's worth talking about. It was, it happened. It sure did on Friday. We'll be back in just a minute.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and 8.